Amen. Don't you appreciate your pastor? Look, I can control everything from here. No, I don't know what this is about. I don't know why it's there. Yeah, what an honor and privilege, obviously, for me. My baby will be here at second service. We've loved this church in the beginning. It was great to see that the doctor, Wayne Mancari, will be here in a couple weeks, too. I just think that's fantastic. We haven't seen each other in a few years, so I just think it's great. Please don't be afraid of prophecy. As a young man growing up in a Catholic church, I didn't even know he still spoke. The most amazing thing for me is all these years, almost 20 now of doing this, is how much he loves to be intimate and he loves to encourage and build. And prophecy certainly becomes one of those elements that we get to hear that. And for me to be a part of it is just incredible. But that's all, that he's all of that as far as encouraging us. And his desire to be someone who we can realize cares about every aspect of our life. It's him. It's fantastic. So this morning I want to really almost be a launching into the book of Acts. I just thought it was fantastic. I love this moment that I'm here. It's always different time of the years, but this down here and it's not snowing or raining, I think is fantastic. Yeah, it's very nice. I even have a little bit of color on my face, which is always sweet because this head really needs it, as you notice. I notice a lot of the brothers are joining me in the house. Yeah, I say, yeah. Yeah, not such a bad thing. Not such a bad thing. Thankfully, it's in style, not because of Elmer Fudd or Mr. Clean, but more of a Vin Diesel rock look. If that's all right with you. Matthew chapter 13. We are in the greatest days of our church world because he is in the process of restoring that which has been his ultimate intention from the beginning of time. And I certainly want to come and share a portion of that this morning and really throughout. He didn't say anything about Tuesday night, but I want to encourage you to come out Tuesday night. Tuesday night is going to be more of a seminarish kind of thing, even Q&A, just to talk about prophecy and the nature of prophecy and some of the grids for it. Everyone loves to ask me questions about how I hear, how I understand, what this is about, how does it go on, and especially his heart. And so if you have time, I think it's not going to be much more than an hour, I guess, but that's going to be the primary thing. And the men's meeting is going to be just absolutely off the chain, incredible, because we're really moving from one era of time to another. And there's portions of our scripture that become so important. I want to look at one element there with my brothers, young and old. Please take the time to come out, though, because it's not certainly going to be a challenge. It's going to be about this amazing thing the Lord's intending to do in the day that you and I are living in, especially for our young people. Matthew chapter 13, sorry about the advertisement. It's back from those pastoral days. I can't help it. I'm always involved. How's this sound? How's this camera? Can I step down there? Beautiful. Few verses, they're going to help me. My man Stephen up there, he didn't talk to me for about the first 4 years. We knew each other, and he's starting to talk to me more now. I appreciate that. I even have his personal email, so it's all good. All right, verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, "Why do you speak in parables?" And the answer he said unto them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them is not given." Verse 17. "For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things that you see and have not seen them, and to hear the things that which you hear and have not heard them." Chapter 13, verse 3. "And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow seed." Verse 24. These are the parables of the kingdom, obviously. There are eight, seven here. "And in parable put he forth unto them, saying, This kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sows good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemies came and sowed tares among the wheat, and he went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto them, Sir, did you sow good seed in your field? From where do these tares come from? And he said unto them, An enemy has sown them. And the servant said unto him, What will we do? Gather them up. And he said, No. Leave them alone. Let them grow together. Verse 30. Let both grow together until the harvest. In the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather together the tares, bind them in bundles and to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Verse 31, another parable. He put forth saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it's grown, is the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree that the birds of the air can lodge in the branches thereof. Another parable, verse 33, spake unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. That's amazing because that's usually negative. All right, let's go over here. That's the one, two more. Verse 45. Thank you, Stephen. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. Let's go one more, 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto the treasure hidden in the field, which when a man found it, he hides it, and with joy goes forth and sells all that he has and buys the field. All right, that's at verse 46 is the ending of the pearl. I apologize for that. Who, when he found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you again, Lord, for the honor and privilege it has been these 13 years and beyond with Dr. Mancari. What a privilege it has been for Lynn and I to be part of the Franco family, this great leadership, this great church, this great time. I do pray this morning for the revelation of Jesus Christ to be to us all. The revelation of the kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven simultaneously in you. That the revelation of that would be ours this morning. Father, I thank you for that. That this would be not just a normal summer or an average summer, but this would be a summer that we would mark off in history. That it all changed then. 2023, it changed. Father, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. The kingdom of God, and I asked if I could be on the floor. By the way, you that are watching us online, great to have you here. Appreciate it. If you haven't had a chance to come and see the incredible children's area, these amazing folks, I encourage you to come on out. Even tonight would be good. The kingdom of God has always been here. Right from that very first moment that the literature began to be written, that there was nothing and he spoke, man, the power of his word. And the earth and the heavens were created. And in verse 2, somewhere between verse 1 and 2, there was some kind of chaos, some kind of problem. And it's amazing to me, sometimes we get caught up in the chaos and the problem. Don't do that, because he immediately regenerates. He revisits the earth. It's void. It's without form. It's dead. And the Spirit of the Lord is brooding across this dead earth. And he doesn't only create, but he recreates. It's the power of the kingdom of God. It is the sovereignty of God. It is God doing what he wills to do, what he declares he will do, and what he declares he will not do. It's this evidence of who he is. We'll see it throughout this history. We'll go on to Noah. What a moment in Noah's life. The world is filled with violence. A pattern will begin. There is going to be a pattern in the heavens. It'll be the ark. And it'll come out of the heavens to a man. The man will build the ark. The ark will cause there to be a flood. And flood is the answer to violence. Always was, always will be. He made a promise to this man that I'll never flood the earth again. He'll say to another man, get ready, another flood is coming. And it's going to be a flood of my glory. It'll cover the earth like the waters cover it. It's an amazing moment. But it was a sovereign movement. Babel, sovereign movement. I love, of course, when we come to Moses. What a moment in time. In the greatest nation in the world, and this people of God cry out, they don't even know this God of the heavens. They only heard about the kingdom of this God in the earth, and they cry out to him, and he comes to a man by the name of Moses, and he demonstrates a power that the world has never seen before, and he'll shake Egypt so badly that they'll finally say, get out of here without a spear, without a sword, without a fight. Not only that, he picked Jews, and they got out with all the gold, the silver, and the precious stones. If he chose the Italians, we would have took the pasta and the sauce and the garlic for sure. It is a amazing moment. Then they get to the Red Sea. You know this history. It's the kingdom of God. In this moment, another pattern comes from the heavens. And this man, Moses, will build a tabernacle. The heavens is letting the earth know that it desires to dwell there. Not just visit, not just rain, not just wind. They want to dwell here. There was this imagery coming out of the heavens, out of this kingdom that we do not know yet out of the heavens. He will speak it. He will bring visions. Isaiah will have it. Daniel will have it. Ezekiel will have it. The pattern will continue. There will be David's tabernacle, Ezekiel's tabernacle. All these things come out. I mean, it's amazing. Elijah, in a moment like this, and I love it for our world because I've been getting the news about we're going to have no food. We're going to have all these dangers. It's amazing to me that this lady from Zarephath had nothing but a morsel of bread and a little oil, and this woman who wasn't a Jew will live 3.5 years. Every time she goes to her little fridge, the oil's there and the dough is there. His kingdom supersedes anything this world declares, any kingdom of this world. This kingdom's greater. Elisha will be the same way. A prophet's wife will be in great debt, and Elisha will say to her, "You got anything? What do you got?" He says, "Well, I only got a pot. Go get as many pots as you can." And every time she went and got a pot, put it in her home, it was full of oil, full of oil. Man, she was supposed to be an oil tycoon. But she ran out of pots. Is it amazing? No, here she is in debt, no hope, in a famine, maybe similar to our day, but this kingdom of God supersedes for his people anything that's going on in this world. Oh, I would love to stop at Babylon, but I don't have a lot of time, though. How about this Babylonian moment? Oh, what do we do when a king declares that, who is this God that shall deliver you, and builds a fire furnace and demands you to bow, and you don't? And everybody else is bowing, even your friends and your cousins and relatives, they're all bowing. Everybody's bowing, but you're not bowing. I mean, what will this God do? Is it possible or anything impossible for this God? I don't know. They'll get thrown in a fiery furnace, and there they are standing in it, dancing around, trying to get some of the old songs back, and they're just loving it, and the fire has no power over them. That's the power of the kingdom of God. Daniel have some of the greatest visions. They will come from this unknown place, this kingdom of heaven. We've had patterns. We've had visions. We've had dreams. Joseph will have one of the best of them. Daniel, I love him. I mean, stop praying for 30 days. That's the law of the land. This man's not going to fight the law of the land, but he's not going to stop doing what he knows he's supposed to do. I remember such a day. And so he prays, and you know what happens. They come for him. He doesn't fight. It's amazing. He doesn't fight. He has a trust in the power of the kingdom of God in a day that appears like God's not present.
That's right. That's good.
Yet here he is, and he prays, and they throw him in the lions. Then, and you know the story. He sat there all night. They're starving, but they're not eating him. And the poor king will come who loves him. Dan, you there? Oh, yo, of course I'm here. I'm a little old now. I'm in my 80s, so I'm not getting along quite as good. But no, the Lord sent an angel to shut the mouths of the lion. I'm safe.
Yeah.
See, don't fear that roaring lion. It's simply a lie.
Yeah.
It's not the truth.
That's right.
This kingdom of God has been an incredible power all the way up to John the Baptist. We have this incredible moment. What we haven't seen yet is this kingdom of heaven. It is yet a mystery. It is yet hidden. It is yet unknown. We've seen portions. He's spoken from here. He's attempted to unveil the nature and character of this kingdom. Because this kingdom, he appears to be angry, upset, uncertain. He appears in this kingdom to be for only one people. And that's his people, these children of Israel, all the way back from Abraham and that covenant all the way through here. But it would be in the fullness of times that this invisible kingdom would bring forth something. It would be the first time something from the heavens came into the earth, a physical thing. It was that moment that we love, we celebrate at Christmas. It was our word is the incarnation. It is this, as Gabriel told Mary, the Spirit of God will overshadow you, and what will be born in you is of the Holy One. And a seed, just a seed of this kingdom of heaven is about to come into the earth for the very first time. Not a pattern, not a vision, not a hidden thing. It is a seed. It is like a mustard seed. The seed has the potential to be the greatest seed the earth has ever seen before. It is in a woman. We know what the seed will be. You're already ahead of me, but just hold on. And she will bring forth at a dark moment in the history of the world. This seed isn't for Israel. This is a seed we've never seen before. This seed is about to unveil a kingdom we've never known or seen before, the kingdom of heaven. We're about to see the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God in one. The power and glory and manifestation of the kingdom of God and the hiddenness of the kingdom of heaven revealed in a man. Never before. Oh, he's clothed men and he's empowered men, but he's never been in a man. It is the beginning of something we have never seen before. He will be born, you know, we'll see him at 33 days old being dedicated. We know already he's just like us. He's not born special. He's not born, he's human, which I think for some of us is a good thing to remember. He understands humanity and is extremely merciful and gracious to her because he understands, because he was her. He was him. We'll see him at 12, and he's got that 12-year-old thing going. Watch my hand. Got the shirt out, the pants are down. Got that look. He's talking stuff. He thinks he's all it. Well, he kind of is, but not. It's the wrong time to be it, as everyone tells their 12-year-old. And all the parents of 12-year-old kids are like, and the 12-year-olds look at me like, going, I'll see you in the parking lot. Okay. They're looking for him in 3 days. You know this time, but I just got to do it. Cell phones, moon, stars, Yeah, it was before Abraham, Jesus. First time you ever heard it like that. He goes, and he has that, look, you might have seen it before. What? See, we don't see him like that. We got him as this holy one. No. He came to become holy like you and I. What? Well, we've been looking for you for 3 days. I would have been like, come here, kid. I'm sure they were. Joseph was going, I don't care whose son he is. I'm slapping him down. Yeah, but you're a stepfather. I don't care. I'm sick of it now. 12 years old. I've been listening to this whole his father. Blah, 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 blah. What are you doing? Don't you know? I'm about my father, didn't he? And I love Luke writes it good. He submitted to his father and his mother, and he went down to Nazareth. The beautiful thing is Lazarus is up. It's a sign that this one, young one was learning submission, obedience. He was going to grow in grace. He's just like us. Just like us. Well, you know, it'll be 18 years, and we don't really know. I mean, I'm sure those early shepherds that were night watching and heard that he was the annunciation of him being born. After 18 years, I'd wonder, was it a mistake? Was it a dream? I mean, where is he? It just seems to get more chaotic, darker. It just seems to be more impossible. I mean, what is he doing? Where is he? All of a sudden, John points right before the Jordan and declares, behold, the Lamb of God who take away all sins. They look at him. He was Jesus. There was nothing about him. He wasn't handsome, tall, big. He wasn't all jacked up. He was just so pathetically normal. It was hard to believe there was anything really there. They couldn't see it. His family couldn't see it. They would come after him eventually and look at him and go, you know, what's the matter with you? Who are you? What are you doing? Are you crazy? They didn't get it. He was about to be the revelation and the unveiling of everything that was hidden in the kingdom of heaven. They didn't understand him. You see, he was the seed planted here in the field. He was the one. I don't know how they did it or when they did it, but they looked down and they found the treasure in the field. The treasure was humanity. And they took the treasure and hid it. And there would be a day that they would decide, we're going to pay it all, and we're going to purchase the field. And we know that this one came. It began to unveil the hidden heart of his father, that they would pay the ultimate price to buy the field. That's why he came, for humanity, to fully redeem humanity. That's the passion of heaven. Oh, I love it. The kingdom of heaven is like a pearl. He's done that for the world. But I want you to know this morning, you are here and I'm here because he saw a precious pearl. And you know how pearls are formed. All of us go through pain and struggle, and it's normal. That's how a pearl is formed. It's amazing Jesus uses a pearl because it goes through that agonizing, but it has no idea that it's being transformed into something beautiful. Our lives, that's why there's such hope for you and I. It doesn't really matter what's going on, good or bad, or what's happening, the struggles we're in. We know he's creating something of value in every one of us. Not one special pearl, every one. And so he saw you, he saw me. I don't know when he saw us. He could see the future, see the past. But he looked and he saw that pearl. He decided, we're selling everything. That pearl is worth it. So I want you to know this morning, my brother, my sister, he saw your value. It was so great before we were even here. He was willing to sell everything for you and for me. It is the unveiling of the kingdom of heaven. He was planted here. I'm going to talk a little bit more about us just toward the end. I'm watching my time. There were tares planted along with the wheat. Always bothered me. But it was the kingdom of heaven letting us realize something. You know, he had a couple tares with him. Peter, a tare. Well, not so much Peter, Judas. You know, and it's always bothered me. He knew from the beginning. I kept thinking, why didn't he say something? He just passed a note. Peter, I don't like Judas too much. Plus, he's been stealing money out of the bag. I've noticed that. I'm pretty sure I've heard from the Father, and he's going to sell me out. Maybe you and James and John should have a talk with him. That's what I would do. I didn't know, though. I don't have to be concerned about the tares that are planted around me or you. Don't have to worry about them. I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. He has them there, and he's planted. He is... Are you following me okay? Because I'm going through all these parables in one spot. This is pretty good. Hey, listen. Leaven is always in history a bad thing. Always here, it's turned to be a good thing. Leaven, how many, the ladies, we know baking. We don't use leaven too much now. We use yeast. Same thing. What it does though is my grandmother was a baker. I mean, the littlest portion affects the whole thing. Yes, he said, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, and I love it, that a woman put in bread. He was the leaven in his day. You do know they looked at him, and those Pharisees said, look at this. And they're all looking at him. It's disgusting, isn't it? What is it? The whole world is going after them. They were right. And I'm believing that same thing to happen in our day right now, in this time. The whole world's going after him. He affected his whole world and still is affecting it. Just that seed from heaven. I had no idea his worth. I didn't. When they got in Mary's womb and she was holding him, I don't think she knew. I don't think they knew at 12. I'm not so sure. Certainly his disciples walking with him, they didn't know his worth. They didn't realize that he was a seed in the earth, but he also was going to be a seed planted in the earth. He was going to be planted by his Father to affect his generation and future generations. I don't think they knew that. They were only concerned about that moment, that day, that time period. They had no idea his effect. Look at us. We're the result of that corn, that seed, just a seed of wheat with the potential to be the greatest seed the world's ever seen. That seed is still affecting the world now. We're proof of that. Well, you know, they came for him. If the princes of this world knew, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. They came for him and they beat him bad that night. They thought they ended this kingdom of heaven mystery. They thought they finished it. They thought they closed that door. Then he rose from the dead, and walked around just to get everybody to freak a little bit. That would have been cool. Yeah, I just wanted to meet somebody. Jesus right here. Yes, David. There's a few other guys. Come here. I don't know how that worked. I don't think about it much. But then he would ascend. Wow, that was, see, I wasn't expecting this. I don't know. Certainly, this kingdom didn't expect it. That kingdom knew. When he ascended, a door was opened. Something changed. This mystery was now known. This place that no one knew. This place that prophets and wise men longed to search out and to know. This place that was hidden to them now was open. I was 22. I don't know. I was pretty happy. I had my babe, fiancée-to-be. Yeah, she would later marry me. Dragged me to a prayer group. First, she divinely nagged me and until I agreed, which I realized she still does sometimes. I don't know how that is. I don't know how she, but I don't realize it is easy now. I go, oh, okay. And that day, I said, yes, you have your day. If you haven't, and you're watching this, you haven't done it yet, please just stay with me for a few moments here. I didn't realize that this seed that came into this woman, this divine seed, this seed, it says, like a mustard seed, it was small, appeared to really be nothing, but in it was the potential, I should say, the no limitation of everything that was in this kingdom of heaven. I didn't know it was in the seed. I had no idea. I was just a man, a guy, a young man that said, yes, I was going to get born again, actually born from above. Now, I was always raised that Jesus was this special person and he was this to be exalted person. He was special and he was exalted, but he didn't come to raise the bar, y'all. He came to lower it. He came so that I would know he was an example of what we could be and greater. I didn't know that. I was just Jay. I mean, really valueless. No real hope for the future. No goals. No nothing. At 22, this is the way I was raised. I didn't know. No money, nothing. I had no idea that he was willing to not just buy the field, sell it all, but this yet-to-be pearl. Just a piece of sand living in the earth. I had no idea he could dream such a dream for us and for this world. So I didn't know that I had this seed in here. I got born again by an incorruptible seed by the word of God, as Peter would say, because he knew. He found out later what had really taken place. And that seed is in every one of us. It's a seed that has no limitations. It's a seed that has the character and nature of this kingdom of heaven, this love and passion, this throne that used to be once a throne of wrath is now a throne of grace and mercy. This Father who sits there is not angry at the world. He's not angry at government. He's not angry at people. He bought that field already. He loves them, and he's just trying to once again have his Son revealed out of the seed that the world might once again behold him. I didn't know. I didn't know that was the real purpose of the seed. So I just kind of got the seed and kind of just, I don't know, just didn't know. I didn't know that he intended to plant you and I, not only the seed in me, but that we would be the seed planted in the earth, that a harvest would come out of our lives. Just like his. I didn't know that he's planting us, yes, for it's here, Cornerstone. Yes, it's here in Chester, Yes, it's here in Virginia. Yes, it's here in the United States. Yes, it's here in 2023. It's here and now. I didn't know that his intent was to reveal the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God simultaneously in us. The power and majesty and glory of this kingdom of God that we've seen in action from creation to recreation, all the way to John the Baptist, all the way to this incarnation of the Son, and all the way to this very now. I didn't realize that he was bringing both of those in us. This seed in us has the power and potential of everything he is for our world. I didn't know that if he, see, it's amazing, Jesus, he says something, I'll look a little closer at it tonight, but he says, you know, this is my time, I've come. If a seed abide alone, it die, but if it dies, it abides. I never liked that very much. I got to die. No. The day that we gave our lives to him, we are already buried with him. Now he's just cracking open the shell and letting what's inside come out. Because, you know, this is just a shell. I can shave it. I can work it. I can make sure I eat it right. I can make it look as pretty. I can put my eye creams on. I could wear tight clothes, off clothes, out clothes, tight pants, big pants, no shoes, shoes, high heels, no high. I could just, but it's still just a shell, like around a seed. It's the life that's on the inside. That's it. We're just earthen vessels. The treasure is within us. I'm just beginning to understand it really fuller, better than I did before. So we're the leaven. Isn't it amazing? One man, it was for one nation. It really irritated the children of Israel, especially that time. Jesus, they look at him, you're always with sinners. You're Republicans. You're with the wrong people. Don't you get it? We're the people. See, they didn't understand that this kingdom, it's about all the people. From the White House to the least house. Everybody. And he has put us here to be like leaven. I'm not going to wrestle the world, but we're going to influence it. And we're influencing it with the character and nature and disposition of the kingdom of heaven with the preeminent Son in Revelation and being revealed through us. And the power of the kingdom of God that gives the ability to walk on water, multiply bread, multiply oil, multiply food, is not controlled by the systems of this world. It's not against them. It's antagonistic. But it's a kingdom that he's established here that rules every other kingdom. We are not ruled by the kingdoms of this world. This kingdom is our rule. And we've got a history of it. He'll raise more from the dead than Elijah and Elisha. He will do much more. This man will walk on water. This man, Elijah and Elisha fed individuals. This man will feed 12,000 with 2 loaves and 5 fishes. That's this kingdom. Well, the biggest, hardest thing for me was these, you know, around me is these tares, plantings of the enemy. So I started to pluck them out. I started to move around more wheat. Get away from those. Those tares are bad. Get away from those tares. Until I saw that and I realized, I've been fighting against him. I'm supposed to be amongst the tares so that they could tell the difference between the wheat and the tare. Do you know how you tell the difference? I got to be done here. I'll pick it up a little bit. I'm almost finished. Here's how you do it. So when the wheat and the tares are fully grown, the wheat have all this corn, so it causes the wheat to, and the tares stand straight up because they have no fruit. That's how they know the difference between the tares and the wheat. I didn't know that. I thought the taller I stood, the more they'd see me. PhD. Two of them. The better I looked, the better I became like them. No. I am like them. They are looking for someone else. We want to see Jesus. So I really came to say this. All this is to say this. I want you to know, Cornerstone, part of the restoration of his ultimate intention is he is replanting us in the world again. Amen. Just like he did his son. Was that a good time to be planted? No. Was that a devastating time for him? Yes. What was going on? It didn't matter what was going on in the world. His father set him in that day, and he knew he was about his father's business. So the Lord is replanting us, not just here, around the world. He is determined to have a nation, a holy nation, a priesthood that are seated all over the world. And they are to be like leaven, affecting the entire world. This day of us being afraid of the world ends today. Being afraid of what's going on in our world ends today. He was never afraid of it. Matter of fact, they tried to push him off a cliff. He just kind of walked right through. They said to him, listen, Pilate, you should beg right now, because I could kill you or save you. He looked at him and said, dude, you got no power over me unless it was given you. I willingly lay my life down. You can never take it. Please let us know. That wasn't an arrogance. That was a confidence. He understood the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God simultaneously one. He was the beginning of a person the world has never seen. He was the start. You and I are the continuation of everything he was. Can we believe that this morning? I can only say this. Yo. Who could think and dream of something like that? Only him. Amen. How about giving the Lord a hand for me? Amen. Please. Good? Are you all right? That was 8 weeks into 20 minutes. That was good, I think. No, not really. It's good. So I just want to encourage a couple a little bit, all right? Okay. So my young lady here, it's amazing that, I don't always see authority in sometimes younger children. Sometimes it's just the firstborn. It's sometimes one, two, it's different. But the Lord has really built within you this incredible ability to lead. Really, and you didn't have to choose law, but you're built similar to your dad as a lawgiver, a young woman who will understand the law, understand the nature of law. There'll be a time period that'll be, even if you didn't go to that particular field, you'll always be a woman who establishes the law, no matter what you're doing, establishes the perimeters, establishes the righteousness, the rightness. It's just built within you without fear. You'll be a day when you'll have two. You'll carry the law out there in this world, and there'll be a day that you'll carry the law within the kingdom of God. You'll be in both places because the Lord wants to establish it in your life. It's just that way. That's taking a lot of pressure, though, on you, and it'll always be feel like you're under the pressure. But please know, though, that like the pearl, the pressure creates something that's of value. It can't be produced any. I could find cheap rock anywhere, but if I'm looking for diamonds or precious stones, they're under pressure. Gold the same way. It's under pressure. It's just producing something valuable, and only he knows the ultimate intention of his value. He values all of us. Some have more responsibility than others. They're different. Some are eyes, some are nose, some are feet, some are hands, some are just elbows. It's just a different place set in the body as it's pleasing him. But you have to know that the Lord will continually do this, and further education will be a part of your life. You'll always have this sense and need that I've got to pursue, I've got to grow. And it's nice about this, though, there is a degree of tightness. Firstborns are just born tight. I know, because I'm one of them. But you don't have that, but you know, you felt the pressure already. You always have. And so, again, it'll be there. But the Lord has really given, there's a grace upon you and a fearlessness, much like it was upon Joshua and much like it was upon David. They were not afraid of the giants. He was not afraid of a walled in city. And there's this thing the Lord does in certain individuals. They're just not afraid. I mean, they don't even evaluate it. They just move. And that's really what he's been building in your life, all of your life. And so that you'll see the Lord do this thing. you know, I'm at the middle 30s when all this is going to start to unfold, and then the kingdom of God thing will come a little bit later. And you'll probably, whether they're serving here or not, you'll always be a part of what the Lord is doing in the house of God. Please understand that. Even if it's a whole different leadership, even if it's not here, that's always going to be your place, because the world will draw you out and it'll feel like, well, I can't give any more than that, but that can't be. You have to be in both places at the same time. He wants to seed you in both places at the same time. So I know that the household has changed quite a bit, but you've been the hidden treasure within this Franco family, even though the whole family's got fantastic people. You've been the hidden treasure in the shadows as administrating your own home, administrating all along the way. Things have happened without anyone knowing that your fingerprints are on it, but they've been on many, many things. And so you're going to see the Lord is already opening, enlarging a place here for you to be greater involved. It doesn't mean you have to be pastor and get a desk and all that, but you're very necessary to the team. You're very necessary to in the administration. Especially administration and foretelling, looking forward. You're great at that. He has a degree of that. But he's better with today's on hand stuff. That's his strength. But you're going to come and help with the administration, and the team already loves you. You're like a bright light when you come into the building. It's beautiful like that. But you're going to see an increase, and the Lord is going to give you the strength to not be afraid. And I love this about you, and this is a beauty. Part of your beauty is that you would never overstep. You never would break rank, ever. You didn't even push on him a little bit. When you felt like this is the time that I should be more involved, you would never do that. You'd wait for him to look and to think and to pray and do what he does. But the Lord is really going to give a strength and witness it that it really is supposed to be that way. And my sister, listen, it really is going to be, whether they put you on a payroll or not, I want to say this to you, please. The Lord, really, I want you to hear that, just in case if it never happens. The Lord will reward. And sometimes his value in a monetary way is far better than some boss or some organization. So I've realized that sometimes it's better to serve and give my life to something and let him account for it. Because this dude, there's no accounting necessary. The silver and the gold, yo, it's his. And so those are hours and things. So just remember that as this whole process goes on. We are right. How about just 10:30, maybe one more?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you guys all right? Okay, because I make people nervous sometimes. You're looking pretty good, though. The hair is really nice. I love hair, though.
I got a little bit.
Huh? Yeah. It's beautiful. I just want to go back here and encourage a certain friend of mine. So my brother here, my new buddy. You know, I don't know. It's just amazing how the Lord is in our history. You know, sometimes I don't, especially when I understand, I know there's a history, and I know he's in history, and I know he cares about my history, but I didn't realize to the degree he cares for it. And my past from 22 years old down was not really good. Issues with my father, issues with family, even at 22. And I just thought that was my past, and that's just going to, in some ways, haunt me, and there's really no hope for that. But I didn't realize that he didn't redeem me from the day that I believed in him. He redeemed my life. And so over time, even when I've drawn away a little bit or I wasn't really everything I thought I should be, he was covenant keeping. And there's nothing I love personally than standing over a man's life who is in covenant but maybe isn't sure of the covenant and doesn't realize the level of covenant to begin to encourage him. Three times he'll come to Abraham, always to strengthen the covenant, most of the time when he fails. This is our God. We would think that if I'm failing, he would withdraw from me, not him. When I'm failing, he draws near. I'm the one who runs away. But I want you to know, my brother, the Lord is returning because he knows that just some of the trauma that you've been through in your life, the disappointment, especially with him, because in some ways he didn't come through in the way you hoped and thought he would, and no one needs to know, but things disintegrated in your hand almost, and it just seemed as though you couldn't grab it. It's like trying to hold water. It's just impossible to hold air. I know it's water. I know it's air, but I can't get a grip on it. And sometimes that's so frustrating, pretty soon you just give up. But I want you to know the Lord is drawn near to reestablish his covenant. Do not think believing in Jesus is a small matter when it comes to him. He doesn't hold me accountable to the covenant. It was between the two of them. He comes to establish it and reestablish it. So this is a day, my friend, that you can begin to believe the Lord and see him return to your household, return to your life, and where the past has been in some ways horrifying and discouraging and such disappointments, he will come and begin to recover them. I never realized that when he bought that field and he bought you and I as pearls, how valueless I was, but I couldn't believe he was dreaming a dream that Jay LaRue could never dream. Not just for Jay LaRue, for every one of us. It's not about prophecy. It's not about kingdom. It's not about being a preacher. It's just about my whole life. This is just something I do. It's my whole life. And my friend, every life is valuable to him, no matter what's happened, no matter what anyone thinks value is. It's valuable to him. And it is the beginning of the recovery. You can easily bow your knee before him. You can easily trust in him, where at times in your life, he wasn't trustworthy to you. But you, I want you to be aware of it, though. He's coming back and drawing near, not to require a thing, but to let you know that he keeps covenant and he will keep covenant. And this is a day that you can hope again for your family, your household, for your life, for your past, your present, and your future, to believe that this God, who sometimes seems distant, has begun to draw near again. Hey, you want me to pray? Or you want to take it off? We're having a discussion. That's why I get her so well, because I'm having a discussion with him. No, that's not true. Okay, yeah, I just wanted to. So my brother, you're going on the trip. Listen, there's a lot of things I've said to you. I remember them. But I just want to encourage you, especially in this moment. There's going to be a new faith that's going to really arise there. We all, the day we ask Jesus to our life, he gives us a measure of faith. It's all different, all of us. And there's been a measure there. But you're going to find this increase coming because the Lord, my young brother, is really creating a young stallion for him, a young man with real force. He did not come for you just because there was nothing else to do. He came for you with real intent and real purpose, pulled you out, plucked you out, brought you out purposely because of his intent for you. And so even in this trip down there, you're just going to have a sense of believing, a sense of faith, a sense of trust. And where you've grown up in a house that wants the supernatural, you've heard it over and over again, loves the supernatural, you, my friend, they already will begin a supernaturalness. Will start within the group going there, and there could be a fresh believing that God will work the miracles. We lay hands upon the sick, they will recover. But it's just the beginning of what the Lord's intending to do with your life in that way. So please, again, similar to the two of you, though it's felt pressure-like, it felt like sometimes you didn't fit. All of it was because of the pressure that has to be upon you with education, household, even the menial chores that sometimes are so like, all of it is purposeful so that the Lord will create the young man that'll be his stallion, someone that he could ride upon, wielding a sword, and just declaring over your life, victorious, victorious, victorious. Amen. Father, I thank you for this morning, Lord. Lord, thank you so much for, by seed, putting in us the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God simultaneously. That this morning might be an embracing of it, a revisiting of it, a new hope, a new dream, that somehow we would shake the gravitational pull of our earth and draw near unto you. Heaven is where we're born from. It certainly is the place that is to sustain us. It's the place we're to know. It is the place of our life. It is the place of our dwelling. It's everything we are. Let the revelation of that be ours this morning. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.